the job that Brother David and the Missions Committee does here at the church. I appreciate the church family understanding the importance and the place of missions. You know, really, when we talk about the place of missions in the church, it is the church. The church is missions. It's God's way of reaching people. So missions is not just really a part of the church. It is the church. And I just believe when you have that mindset, then you're right in line with the scripture. Turn back in your Bible, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 3. We're going to continue from this morning as we go through the book of Philippians. I thought about just staying on course and picking up next week as we, in Sunday mornings, go through the book of Philippians. But I just want to, I have a few thoughts on my heart that I want to share with you tonight to kind of finish up some things that we started this morning. Philippians chapter number 3. And once you find your place there, if you would just stand, and we'll look at these scriptures beginning in verse 17 through 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. We were talking this morning about, in verse number 8, how that Paul said in chapter 3, verse 8, that the Christian life is a lot like a bookkeeper. And he said, you know, I've counted. And if you're going to live the Christian life, you're going to count some things. All right? And some things you've got to count for loss. And you've got, you know, God's a great record keeper. And he expects us to be too. So the Christian life is a lot like a bookkeeper, Paul said. And then you get down in verse number 14. He said the Christian life is a lot like, well, it's a lot like running a race. He said, I press. And it is indeed. The Christian life in more than one place is referenced, or the analogy is used as we're in a race. And we need to keep that in mind. There is a goal. There's a finish line. We need to keep our eye on the finish line. You don't need to look back. You don't run a race looking backwards. Amen? And then this morning we talked about in verse number 20, the Christian life is a lot like a journey. And we're on a journey. And Paul kind of takes that thought up in verse number 17, and he begins to talk about, you know, as we journey, we're traveling, and he uses this term, the walk. We refer to the Christian life many times as the Christian walk. And Paul alludes to that, and so we'll pick up verse 17, and we want to finish on the journey, okay? Bound for the promised land. Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which, and here's our word, walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's pray. Father, take this moment that we have and open our hearts and our understanding to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God this evening. Lord, I ask for and I claim your presence and your power upon the preaching of the Word of God today. We ask, Lord, that your perfect will would be done through the preaching of the Word. Speak to every heart. Do the work in every life that is needed, as only you can. And ultimately, I pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted through the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for these servants that have joined us for our service this evening, the Knowles family. And I pray a special blessing upon their life. I pray particularly that you would be with Sister Knowles. I pray for her mother. I pray about this situation. God, would you intervene, and may you show yourself strong in this situation. I ask you, Lord, that you would give guidance, wisdom, comfort, and peace in their lives. And tonight I pray that you would help us to make a decision once and for all that we are going to mind heavenly things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, and I'm not going to go, I really have to do a little bit, but I don't want to do a whole lot of going back and reviewing. But if you'll remember, we talked about the two walks. So we have in verse 19, the last part of verse 19 says, who mind earthly things. And there are those who live their life to mind earthly things. Now someone might read that verse of Scripture and think, well, that's talking about lost people. Well, it certainly could be. But it also could be talking about saved folks. Okay, it could be talking about people that are saved and yet that are taken back. And we're going to look at that in just a moment when we turn to some other Scripture. So we have this group of people, we have this way that you can live. And so you have to make the decision. Every person has to make the decision for themselves. Am I going to mind heavenly things? Is my journey going to be about heavenly things or about earthly things? Paul said in verse number 19, he said, there are those who mind earthly things. And then he said in verse number 20, he said, for our conversation is in heaven. In other words, we're minding heavenly things. As believers, we need to keep our focus on heaven. We do not need to get rooted down in this world. You know, there's the primary differences in Christianity in days gone by and in today's Christendom, professing Christendom, is the old timers used to sing about, preach about, live as if, hey, I'm going to another place. This life is not all there is. Amen? And it's not. But the devil, there is a spirit of Antichrist that is prevalent in our world today that is arresting people and that is binding people to live for here, to live for now. People get so caught up in what's going on in this life and they have no vision. They have no focus on the life which is to come. And we need to stay focused on the life which is to come. Okay? That's me, Brother Jonathan. I think I just fixed it. So, let's look at this. So it says here in verse number 18, he said, for many walk. Many. And brethren, I'm here to tell you, as a pastor for over 30 years, that there's a lot of people who say they're ready for heaven, but their lives do not say that. Now, Jesus used this word that Paul is using here when he said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That word many. Jesus said that the broad way is a way that many are on. Many. And he said, many shall say unto me in that day. Many. Not just a few. Okay? Many. There are many people that think they're okay. There are many people that have just enough of religion. They've been inoculated. They're churchy. And they've got just enough to talk it. But there's nothing real in their life. There's no real possession of a divine nature that makes a difference in someone's life. And because of that, they can get sucked in. They've been deceived. And you know what Paul said about it? He said in verse number 18, he said, I weep about it. He wasn't angry with them. He wasn't angry with them. He was weeping. He said, I'm weeping that there are people that have been deceived into thinking that they're going to heaven, but they're not. Now, there's a flip side of this too, and that's people that are going to heaven, but they're not living like it. They're living the lie. They profess Christ with their mouth, but their life says everything to the contrary. And Paul said, they're enemies of the cross. Notice in verse number 19, he said, and here's the three things about being earthly minded. Remember when we turned to the book of the Revelation and over again it talked about those that dwell on the earth. Those that dwell on the earth. When you talk to people today, that's all people want to talk about. See, people don't want to talk about eternity. Even people that profess to be Christians, they don't want to talk about things to come. They don't want to talk about heaven.
See, people don't want to look toward that day. They know very little about it. They're not looking toward it. They're trying to get all they can in this life because they feel like this is it. I want to make all I can and count all I get, and I want to just go for the gusto. I want to go all in here. Can I tell you, that's a terrible way to live life. It's a terrible way to live life. And Paul said, when you live life that way, now, here I believe he's talking about lost people, but he could be referring to those that are saved that have been given over to the flesh. They're living a carnal life. You say, preacher, there's no such thing. Yes, there is. And I'm going to show you from the scripture here in just a moment. Okay? So let's look at what being earthly minded is. Earth dwellers. It's what John called them in the book of the Revelation. They dwell upon the earth. They just look at, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no hereafter. This is all there is. But I'm here to tell you, there is a hereafter. There is a final destination. There is a time when this life is over, the next life will begin. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, that says it all right there. There is a destination. There's a destiny after death. After this, the judgment. The judgment. And so here's what he said. Whose end is destruction. I want you to write that word down. I want you to write down destruction. Because here is the destiny. Here is one thing about those at the latter part of verse 19 who mind earthly things. In other words, they're all in. That phrase there, who mind earthly things, that's all their mind's on. They're never thinking about the hereafter. They're never thinking about standing at the judgment bar. They're never thinking about eternity. No eternal perspective in life at all. It's all now. It's all in. All here. And brethren, can I tell you, that is the spirit of Antichrist. And so he said, whose end is destruction. That word destruction, it means empty, lost, waste. Whose end they will find their life was wasted. Because they never fulfilled the purpose that God gave them this life for. Can I tell you that every person comes in this world with a purpose attached to them? It's called God's will. And the first thing that you will do and the first thing that I do in order to achieve God's will is to be saved. Because it's God's will that no one perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? It's not God's will that any should perish. As a matter of fact, it's God's will that every man hear the truth and come to a knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4, and be saved. That's God's will. And then as you get saved, as we have heard already tonight, then God has a purpose in your life to help reach people for the kingdom, to help get people thinking about eternity, not just the present, not just the temporal. And so he said, whose life is destruction. I remember one time I was witnessing to a man, and this is what this man told me. He said, I don't go for those scare tactics, preacher. You're not going to scare me with hell. I said, well, I'd rather not think about scaring you with hell. I'm trying to scare you to go to heaven. You say, preacher, do you think there's anything wrong with scaring people? Well, let me ask you, do you? You think there's anything wrong with scaring anyone? You think there's anything wrong with a doctor telling you, hey, look, you lose 40 pounds and start exercising, or you might not last long. Does that scare you? It'd scare me if a doctor told me that. Amen? So it's okay for a doctor to scare someone. Is it all right for a judge to scare someone? If a judge, you stand before a judge and a judge tells you, hey, you show up in my courtroom again, and I'm putting you behind bars. That's a scare tactic. Well, it's okay for a judge to do it. It's okay for a doctor to do it. It's okay for a police officer to pull you over and say, hey, I see you speeding through here again. I'm giving you a ticket. That'll scare you a little bit. Hey, can I tell you as a preacher, I'd rather scare you into heaven than to lull you into hell. Amen. Don't you fall for that. You keep telling people that you must be born again. You keep telling people that there's life after death. There's a destiny that a man must be born again. It's important, brethren. It's important. And we let these little coin phrases put fear in us. Don't you let that put fear in you. You tell people, Well, preacher, not many people in 2018 believe in hell. I believe there's a hell. I want to live like I believe there's a hell. Why would we have a missions program if we didn't believe in hell? Why would these folks give their life to go to Uganda to tell people about Jesus if there wasn't an afterlife? If this was all there is. And so here, Paul said, whose end is destruction. Can I tell you, now listen to me real carefully, young folks. There's coming an end. See, when you're younger, you don't think about it as much. But with each passing year, I think about the end a little more. Don't you? I tell you, there is an end. And whether you're 18 or 80, the end is coming. Now listen to me. As he said right here, when you mind earthly things, you lose sight of the fact that there's an end, and you do not live for then. You live for now. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a lot of vain regrets when the end comes. And it is coming. And so he said here, whose end is destruction. Number two, look what he said about him. Whose God is their belly. This is their deity. Notice that word God there is not a small g. Whose God, whose deity, he said, is their belly. If you had seen me Thursday, you'd have thought my belly was my God. Amen. Now, I think we all ate good Thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. We're blessed. Now I want you to notice something that Paul was saying here. I want, first of all, tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying that your appetite of what you eat only. Yes, the word appetite is attached to this, but it is a passion. It is your passion for living is something that you're going to gain pleasure from. The next event, I talked about it this morning a little bit, just in passing. He says here, number one, whose end is their destruction. But number two, he said their deity is their belly. Their God is their belly. In other words, they only live for the next fix, whatever it is, the next drunken party, the next event, right? The next get-together, it's just like, you know, the next paycheck, the next weekend, it's just something to get them through to the next event here on earth. And he said, that's their God. They do not know what it is to live in light of eternity. All right? Why? Because they mind earthly things. You see that in verse 19? We're talking about people that mind earthly things. They, in verse 19, they just live for now. And brethren, I'm telling you now, this is the spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit that's prevalent in our world today. It's crept into our churches. And we've quit preaching and teaching and talking about the eternal things of life. How that we're to keep our eye on the prize. We're to keep our eye on the finish line. We're to send up treasures into heaven. This is not all about this life. I understand that we have responsibilities here. Understand that. But I'm not going all in here, brethren. I'm not going all in here. I'm not going to drive my stakes too deep. The Bible teaches me not to do that. I am just a pilgrim and a stranger. We're just passing through. Amen. You understand that, right? I hope that you do. So, he said, who mind earthly things? Number one, he said, you need to think about destination, destiny. You need to think about destruction. Number two, you need to think about deity. Hey, can I ask you a question? When this old world is over and this old life is through, where are you going? You need to think about that regularly. Don't rely on some prayer you said as a five-year-old. Listen now, in case it was real, if you got under Holy Ghost conviction and God drew you to Himself and you were converted, wonderful, wonderful. But there's a lot of people that's relying on some experience, some emotional experience, and their life, listen, it's like pulling teeth to get them to come to church, to get them to serve God with their life. Something's wrong there. Something's broken there. I said this morning, I'll say it again, there's struggles in the Christian life. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people that constantly rebel and turn away from the Bible, want to have nothing to do with the Bible, the church, Jesus, ashamed of Jesus. Something's not right. And so I'm trying to help us to understand what it is to mind earthly things. He said, not only is there end destruction in verse number 19, he said, whose God is their belly. In other words, it's all about pleasure and entertainment. By the way, let me show you something here. Turn, if you would, to Romans just for a moment. This phrase is used again, and I think that this will help us to kind of understand what's being said here. Romans 16. We live in a time when people go to church now. They call it church. And they get up and they boogie-woogie. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. He didn't boogie-woogie. Amen. And they get up and they bang away and they boogie-woogie. And then some guy gets up and gives a little sermonette and tells everybody how good they are and that everybody's fine and everything's fine. And they lock arms and they kind of hum a little bit and they go home. Hey, that's not church. That's not church. Notice what Paul said here. By the way, when their God is their belly, you can expect this. We have them in the area. Actually, I just told someone not long ago when they said, yeah, we go down here to this church. I said, I didn't know that was a church. I didn't know that was a church. See, there's a lot of things going on in the name of church that's not church. Don't you back off where you stand on this. Just because people get together and call it church, that doesn't mean it's church. Got to line up with this book to be church, brethren. Amen. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So just because a bunch of people get together and call it church, that doesn't make it church. You have to be born again. A church is a called out body of believers. Amen. You got to practice New Testament doctrine. Autonomous, indigenous. That's what a church, New Testament church is. Notice this, Romans 16, look at verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Now here's, we're going back to that phrase there in Philippians, whose God is their belly. Now I want you to notice what he says about them. He said, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Watch this now. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So, you know, they get up and they boogie-woogie a little bit and bam-wham and just beat around and jump around in the name of Christian music. Blah! That stuff is a, listen, that stuff is a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. It's deceitful. It's damning. And then behind that rock music and beating it out and drumming it out and the low lights and the dancing and jumping around in their tight blue jeans. Listen to me now. You got some guy want to get up and sit on a stool and tell you, oh, you're fine. Don't you worry. God loves you. And everybody's going to heaven. That's not so. Amen. You say, preacher, you believe God's a God of love? If he wasn't, we'd all be in a mess. But God is holy too, brethren. And so we go back and we find a little bit about what Paul was saying. He said, listen, he said, you be careful about these folks whose God is their belly, who's only concerned about now, pleasure, who's only concerned about what they're going to get out of it. And they're not concerned about magnifying the name of Jesus. They don't preach against sin. They don't take the Bible stand. And he said, these people are those who mind earthly things. It's all about now. It's all about building the mega church. Well, I believe you ought to get as many people as you can saved. Amen. I believe you ought to get as many as you can saved. But when results becomes the primary purpose of ministry, you're going to have a train wreck. It's been proven over and over again. You drop your standards, you bring in anything and anyone, and anything goes. God is not pleased. So we don't want to be, you know, a purpose-driven church. Say amen now. You know what I'm talking about, Saddleback and all that. Listen, all that stuff, it's right here in verse 19. Then he said in verse number 19, look at it, whose glory is in their shame. In other words, things that people used to blush at, things that people used to wouldn't even mention in public, now they're walking around bragging about it. Their immorality, their drunken parties, their filthy movies, and their rap music. They're walking around like that's something. Oh, we're listening to Christian rap. Can I tell you, there's no such thing as that. That's a made-up word. What are you doing? What are you going to do when you listen to that Christian rap? You going to drink some Christian whiskey? What, you think you can put the name Christian with something and that makes it okay? Smoke a little Christian pot? Commit a little Christian adultery? Hey, that stuff is out of hell. Listen to me. You see, when they get to this place in verse number 19, they're only minding earthly things. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, you'll get sucked into this. You say, oh, preacher, it'll never happen to me. Well, hey, now listen to me. Oh, don't you think this can't happen now? It can happen. There have been good, godly, God-fearing men, churches, and institutions that stood for the old-time religion and the fundamentals of the faith, and right now, they're doing this stuff that I'm reading to you. Right now. It doesn't make us better than them. This is a warning to us. This is a warning. I'm not standing up here, beating down and kicking, slinging mud, and throwing people on the bus. I'm warning you. God help us to be warned. This is real. We have to keep our antennas up and our radar out. We have to look unto Jesus. Our brethren, we're in trouble. We cannot do this without God's help. So he says here in verse number 19, he said, now, their glory is in their shame. Always run around talking about what all they've done of the world. What they've done and how they pulled a slick one over mom and dad. Hey, listen, you might have pulled a slick one over mom and dad, but you're not going to pull a slick one over Jesus. You listening to me, young people? You're not going to get one over on God. And God keeping the records. I want you to know that. He knows what you're watching when no one's around. He knows what you got on that computer. You listen to me. You might think you got the preacher food, but the preacher's been around for a long time. Sometimes you can get around somebody and their spirit just tells on them. That's right. I'll let you know something. You spend a little time with God, God will let you in on some secrets. Amen. So don't think now, because the preacher don't see you do it or mom and dad don't see you do it that you done pulled one over. You might think you have, but God's keeping the records. And this is serious business. Jesus didn't go. I want you to look at that verse 18 one more time. This is for all of us, not just the young folks. I want you to look at that verse 18. Paul said, I tell you now, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Can I tell you, Jesus didn't die on that cross so you could live any way you want to? I'm about up to here with that. Jesus didn't die on the cross so I could live any way I want to. Christ didn't die for my sin so I can live any way I want to. He has a purpose and a plan for my life, and he expects me to live my life for him. Amen. I've been bought with a price. Amen. And you have too. Amen. So he said, this is that crowd who mind earthly things. They really don't have any eternal perspective in life. Right? You say, preacher, that's kind of mean preaching. Well, I don't mean it to be mean. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, brethren. I'm saying it with some urgency. I'm telling you, we're living in a day of compromise where anything goes now. Listen, there was a day when things that are going on in our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches, the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches used to look at these Southern Baptist churches and say, man, they're compromising. Can I tell you? The independent Baptists are now. The very things that once stood on this is truth and they once stood against, now folks are compromising and backing off of it. Why? Minding earthly things. Amen. Get too caught up in what's going on in this world. I want to say this one more time. I'm going to move on before I close. I'm not saying that we don't have earthly responsibilities. We all have earthly responsibilities. Listen, I'm a pastor. I have a responsibility to feed the flock of God, to care, to shepherd this flock. I'm a husband. I have a responsibility to my wife. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I have responsibilities here on this earth, and you do too. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when our life becomes obsessed, that this life here, that this world, this earthly life is our main focus. It's all, we're all in here. We're not looking toward eternal things. We're not viewing things through an eternal sight. It's all about here and now. It's all about this world. I'm telling you now, I'm going to say it one more time. That is the spirit of Antichrist. And it is sweeping our nation. Just forget about that. You're going to heaven. What does it matter? A lot. What does it matter how you live? You know you're saved, you're going to heaven. Hey, listen, it matters a lot how you live. I'm going to heaven, but on my way there, I don't want to send people to hell. Say amen with me now. And if we don't live right, we're liable just to do that. I got saved. God saved me to get other people to come to heaven with me, not send them to hell by living a lie. We need to just, God help us. We've got this mindset. It doesn't matter how we live anymore. It's always mattered, and it always will. And it's not going to change. Just because some preachers or churches have changed, that doesn't mean God changed. All right? Now, let's focus on this before we close. Verse 20, heavenly minded. I hope you're not earthly minded, but I will tell you this. There's been times in my Christian experience I've been earthly minded. You mean, preacher, after you got up there and said all that, now you're going to say that? Well, it's so. God knows it. Brethren, this thing is a struggle. I'm to walk in the Spirit. You're to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit all day, every day, but I don't. I want to. It's my goal. But that spirit that I'm talking to you about pulls on me too. Tries to keep me out of my prayer closet. Tries to keep me out of this book. Tries to get me in a foul mood toward my wife or toward my flock. Hey, listen, the same spirit of Antichrist, is at work in your life? Is at work in my life? Trying to get us off base, right? Trying to get us not to put the things that should be priority. And so God help you and God help me. And we need to stick together and pray one for another. Encourage one another. That's one of the reasons we come to church, is to exhort one another. Is that what the Bible says? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now let's close with this. Now, we've talked about minding earthly things. What about minding heavenly things? I want to give you three words. First of all, write these three words down. We're going to talk about conversation, anticipation, and transformation. They're right there in verse 20 and 21. All right, let's look at the first one, conversation. Right there it is. For our conversation. Now, you know what this word means, okay? It means like our lifestyle, our manner of living. Now, if you go back into chapter 1 of verse 27 of Philippians, you'll remember we talked about this a little bit in verse number. Look at that, if you would. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And Paul, in this section, he's talking about citizenship. All right? See, my citizenship, if you're saved, your citizenship, our citizenship's in heaven, right? Now, what's that have to do with these people at Philippi? Remember when we said Philippi was a colony of Rome, all right? Now, what does that mean? That means it was run by Roman government, and it was set up as a little Rome. Now, listen very carefully to me so you can get what Paul's telling these people. The people at Philippi, they knew exactly. Hey, they honed right in. They knew exactly what Paul was speaking of. Because when you were a Roman colony, Rome kind of controlled you. And you were known as a little Rome. The Caesar was your king, all right? Now, they gave you some personal liberties, but all in all, they kind of run you. You were a little Rome. Now, here's what Paul's saying. Look at it here in verse number 20. For our conversation is in heaven. In other words, our citizenship is in heaven. We ought to bring a little heaven to this earth. We ought not be earthly minded, as verse 19 says. We ought to be heavenly minded enough to where we bring a little heaven with us here. See, that's what he's saying. And the people in Philippi, they got that. See, they got that. When Jesus was here, he brought a little atmosphere of heaven everywhere he went. Amen? Can I tell you, that's what Fellowship Baptist Church and every Bible-believing church ought to do in the community where God plants it? Ought to bring a little heaven to earth. Sad to say, a lot of churches bring a little hell to earth, fighting in the parking lot and just carrying on like a bunch of heathens and pagans. But here, when Paul spoke and he said, our conversation is in heaven, these people that were in Philippi, they knew. They knew they were a little Rome, and that they dressed like the Romans. They began to carry the verbiage of the Romans. Everything they did emulated the Romans. Can I tell you, everything we do ought to emulate that our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Ought to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a little heaven on earth. And that's what Paul's saying. Our conversation, the way we live. Brethren, I want to say this, and then I'll move to my second point, and we'll get to the third and final. There's a better day coming. Amen. There's a better day coming. I have to think about it from time to time. I'm glad there's a better day coming. I'm glad this world's not all there is. I love my life. I do. God's been so good to me. And I think we could go around this building tonight and every one of you would say, you know what? God has been far better to me than I deserve. Can I get a witness? Has God been better to you than you deserve? Amen. I love my life. But I don't want to get so caught up in this that I lose sight of what's waiting on me on the other side. Sometimes I get to thinking about going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, brother. I'm going to heaven. It's real. Not because of anything I've done. If I got what I deserve, well, if any of us got what we deserve, we'd go to hell. But by the grace of God, I'm going to heaven. Amen. And I don't want to lose sight of that. I don't want to get so tied into this world. I don't want to become so earthly minded that I lose sight that there's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. I believe it's going to come sooner than we anticipate. So it's in conversation. So you want to be heavenly minded. Got to keep your mind, got to keep your eye on the goal. We got to look ahead. That's what's going to help us to live the way that we ought to live, that would be pleasing to the Lord. All right, number two, anticipation. We talked about conversation. Look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. But here's anticipation. Look at this next phrase. From whence also we look. That word means an anticipating glare. From also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you anticipating Jesus to come? Oh, we ought to live every day of our life like it could be the day that Jesus comes. Amen. You want to stay heavenly minded? Right here's a way to do it. You say, preacher, I do. I want to be heavenly minded. I don't want to be earthly minded. But there's so much that bombards us, and it does, doesn't it? Come on now, it does. But I want to be heavenly minded. How can I do that, preacher? Well, first of all, stay in the book. Amen. Stay in the Word and just stay in church and stay around God's people, and God will begin to help you to carry out His commandments in your life. And then number two, keep your eye on the prize. Realize Jesus is coming back. Now, I said that this morning, I meant it. If we really believe Jesus is coming back today, we'll live different. You say, well, how can you say that, preacher? Because I believe the Bible. 1 John 3:3. Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Anticipate. Let me ask you to turn to one more scripture and we'll come back to here and close. Turn, if you would, to 2 Peter. These are some great scripture, and I'm not going to preach them. I just want to read them. They preach themselves. 2 Peter chapter 3, just in the event, and I don't think there is, okay? I don't have anyone in mind, and I don't think there's anyone here that would say, well, you know, preacher, I'm beyond that. I've been saved long now, I'm not going to live earthly minded. I'm heavenly minded, and I'm not going to live earthly minded. I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm not going back to the world. Praise God. I thank God for that mindset you have. But listen, keep your guard up now. Amen. Don't think it can't happen to you. Peter warns us right here, and he said, listen, don't turn back. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. You get around a bunch of people that are earthly minded, they're going to try to turn you back. Now, hear me carefully right here. It matters who you spend your time with. It matters who you spend your time with. You get around a bunch of earth dwellers, and you're going to become an earth dweller. That's what the Bible says here. Verse number 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now there's our word, conversation. All right? And he's talking about anticipating. So they go together. See, our conversation, the way we live, and anticipating the second coming of Jesus go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And Peter's bringing them together right here. He said, hey, if you're looking for Jesus to come, if you're looking for the Lord to come back, he said, it's going to determine what kind of person you ought to be in verse number 11, in all holy conversation and godliness. Look at verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now listen, I know this is kind of taking in the revelation and the rapture. I understand that, okay? I understand that. But I don't want to break that down right now. I just want you to know I do understand that. Look at verse number 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. In other words, pay attention to the way you live. Seeing that Jesus is coming back, mind the way you live because it matters. I want to skip down to verse number 17. And here's where he says, be careful now. Be careful who you spend your time with. He said in verse number 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You say, oh, preacher, I won't fall. Peter said, now listen, you believe in the second coming, you believe in soul winning, you believe that the promise of God is so, you believe these things, it'll change the way you live. But now if you spend too much time around people you shouldn't be spending time with, it'll lead you away. Now that can happen. And I think every one of us realize that. So it does matter who you spend and who I spend my time with. I want to spend my time with heavenly minded people. Now I want to witness and reach out and try to help anybody I can. And I think you do too. But be careful now. That's all I'm saying. Just be careful. Let's read that verse 17 one more time so we can get the full effect of it. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, you go from being heavenly minded and minding heavenly things to the place where they are minding earthly things. If you're not careful, your God will be your belly. My God will be my belly. It can happen. Yes. All right, we're going to close with this last thought. Back in Philippians. So we have those that mind earthly things, and thank God for those who mind heavenly things. Can I encourage you to mind heavenly things? All day today, that's what I've been trying to say. Mind heavenly things. Mind heavenly things. Don't mind earthly things. This earth's going to burn, brethren. It's going to catch on fire. You know that, right? We just read about it in 2 Peter. God's going to renovate this place. Listen to me. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness, Peter said. So he said, conversation. It matters how we live. Anticipation. Every day, get up and say, perhaps today, Jesus will come. Mean it, believe it, live it. And then finally, transformation. Who shall change, verse 21, our vile body? See that word vile? It doesn't mean dirty, filthy gal. Okay? It doesn't mean that. God gave up on the body in the garden. You understand that? The word vile there means frail, weak. All right? So my body's not weak. Well, probably not. Corey, how old are you? 24 years old. His body's probably not weak. Though I still believe I could take him in arm wrestling. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. I don't even want to try that, Brother Corey. Amen. I'd probably have to limp out of here. I'd arm wrestle somebody and hurt my back. I mean, it's crazy how your body start falling apart, Brother Dan. Amen. Now, some of us men, in our minds, we think we're 20, 25. You know, man, I'll do this, I'll do that. No. And I tell you right now, your body will tell your mind and that quick, not going to happen today. These old vile, these weak bodies, brethren, get on up to some age and they get weaker and weaker and weaker. But thank God one day, look what the Bible says. He said he's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We're going to get us a glorified body one day. Oh, listen, there's a lot of reasons I want to go to heaven. And the main one is I want to see Jesus. But I got to tell you, with every year that passes, I'm looking forward to that new body. And you say, preacher, you're still kind of young. Oh, I understand that. But I can't do near what I could. And I look around and I see some men, I mean some strapping, strong men. And boy, I tell you, age just takes its toll on you. It does. See, our bodies are degenerating. But one day, there's going to be a transformation. We're going to get us a resurrected body, brethren. And it's real. This is real. And so I want you to keep that in mind. This life is not all there is. This body I have, this is not eternal. Now, my soul is, but this body's not. It's temporal. It's going back to the dust from whence it came. But I'm going to get me a new body. Amen. All right? So the next time you see me kind of limping, and the next time you see me kind of grunting to get up out of a chair or making some kind of noises when I'm trying to move about, I want to remind you, that's not forever. That's not forever. One glorious daybreak, I'm going to have me a new body. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a day that'll be. Can I tell you, I've got some loved ones that already got their new body. I'm longing to see them. I'm longing to see them. You have too, haven't you? See, God's going to call some of those folks you love on over to the other side. The longer you live, the more on the other side. It'll eventually get to the place where you got more over there than you do over here. If you live long enough, I thank God for the transformation. I want to give you a verse of scripture I'd like for you to go home and read. Okay, it's a great, I will guarantee you, you'll get a great blessing out of it. Acts 26, verse 8. The Apostle Paul was giving his testimony to King Agrippa. And he's telling King Agrippa, he said, now listen, he said, I'm going to tell you about the death, burial, and resurrection of this Jesus. And then he said, and then King Agrippa says, you know, man, you're mad. He said, you know what? He said, let me tell you something, Agrippa. Now listen, I'm paraphrasing, but you go on and read Acts 26, verse 8. You know what he said? He said, King Agrippa, you shouldn't be surprised that the God of heaven can resurrect a man. That shouldn't surprise you. You're an intelligent man, aren't you? You're keen. You're intelligent. You know some things. You see what God does. You see what takes place. It shouldn't surprise you when you and I begin to talk about getting a new body. Hey, that shouldn't surprise us. All you have to do is just think about how many cells are in your body here. Think about the way your body functions. God did that. Just so you know. Just go home tonight and read about 15 minutes on the optic nerve and you won't have one bit. Listen to me. You won't have a problem with the God you serve giving you a glorified body.
Amen.
Guarantee it. You just read that one little facet of what God can do. God is able. That's the way that chapter ends. He's able to subdue all things. Well, our brother tonight mentioned that verse. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's stand. He's able. So conversation. Heavenly minded. Heavenly minded. Conversation. Anticipation. Jesus is coming back. Transformation. We're going to get us a new body. See, I want to stay focused on those things.